The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Don't you just love Brendan Gleeson? What an amazing actor and an amazing man and great company. And I just enjoyed that last hour of a quarter. Hour and a quarter, Joe Duffy and Brendan Gleeson together. Just amazing. Great crack and full of heart and great actor. And can't say enough about Brendan Gleeson. How are you this afternoon? 51551 for your text or ray@rte.ie. And anything that's on your mind, if it's happy birthday, happy anniversary, something you're doing locally to help out people in these times of crisis, is it crises? Let us know about them. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. We were talking the other day about a professor from some university across the water who was saying that we will have strange dreams because our routines have been knocked here, there and everywhere. We're not getting as much exercise as we normally would. We're not going to work, a lot of us. We're working from home. We're probably eating stuff that we wouldn't normally eat. We're probably drinking more than we should, drinking more coffee, all that sort of thing. And as a result of all that and the anxiety, we're having strange dreams. Well, John was on to us overnight. He says, I had a dream last night that you were driving a BMW up Braveheart Hill in the Curra. What you were doing there, I don't know. But you left the handbrake off and the car ended up in Kildare Town. Thank God nobody was hurt. Please try to be more careful the next time you're in my dream. I woke up in a sweat. Cheers from John. That's great. I've never driven a BMW in my life, John. I'm nearly sure I haven't. Now, you know, over the years you'd be asked to do various things for television programmes, but I don't think I've ever driven a BMW. And would that happen? If you left the handbrake off on Braveheart Hill in the Curra, would you end up in Kildare Town? I doubt it very much. That's a strange one, isn't it? Catherine, while we're on movies and dreams and all that, will you ask RT to put on Shirley Valentine? She used to talk to the wall just like me. I said there's a lot of people talking to and climbing the walls at the moment. And can you wish my brother Cathal Byrne in Dunshaughlin County Meath the very happy 22nd birthday today from his favourite brother Jarlath, his mum and dad, and his least favourite brother Lorcan. We'll have a proper celebration soon. Thanks a million. That's Jarlath there. And hello, please wish my grandniece Robin Ryan from Gortnahone in Mitchelstown, County Cork, a very happy first birthday today. She lifts the spirit of her parents each day as they go to work on the front line. To healthcare workers, come home safely. Lots of love. Auntie Joe, Seamus. From Newport in County Tipperary. And that's the type of lovely text we're getting. And this one we got in at the end of the show yesterday and didn't get around to reading it out. I wanted to hug your wife, that's my wife Jenny, when you told us that she thought people were being condescending to over 70s. I was in my garden and I shouted a big, yes! Someone is understanding how we're feeling. And then being told to keep distance 2 metres in our homes, cocooning nearly sent me over the edge. Really enjoyed David Norris. So that's from yesterday. And I've been talking, I didn't talk about it yesterday because I thought I'd bore you to tears, but the sourdough starter, it's looking good. Just to fill you in very quickly, it's a thing that you make with flour and water and you make it over 7 days and then it's one of the 4 ingredients of sourdough bread. And the brilliant thing about it is, though, once you do it once, you have it there. And if you treat it well, like a plant or a pet, you have it for life, sourdough starter. I did what I had to do last night. Took it out, left 50 grams in a clean jar, added 100 grams of flour and 100 grams of water, well, millilitres of water. And I put the rubber band around the jar to show you where the line was. And I looked at it today and it increased in size, double. It's doubled in size and that's what it has to do. So I'm getting there. It's day 5 or 6. I've lost count. But Sebastian was on to me. He said, I was listening to the start of the show on Tuesday and thought that I need to share this secret with you. Despite being a chef, I tried several times to create a sourdough starter at home, but failed miserably each time. And Sebastian's a chef. Then I came across this fantastic technique for bread baking that almost resembles the real thing and is utterly delicious. You should pass it on to your listeners, as it is really an incredibly easy way to make tasty and nutritious bread. I always use a high quality organic flour, if you can get it, Sebastian, and made many variations of it over the years. These can include wholemeal flour, spelt seeds, nuts, or very delicious rye flour, just like the one I made today. I promise you, you will love it, and the wife won't complain anymore about the funny looking jar on the kitchen press. I think it's the smell, and it's the texture of it that's making her go, ugh, that's making her retch. Anyway, no need bread is what Sebastian is. So put no need bread, as in K-N-E-A-D, as opposed to N-E-E-D. So no need bread. And that's what he makes. And he swears by it. I see that Adrian Childs is a bread maker as well. I wouldn't have put him down as a bread maker. All the bakers are coming out of the closet. Eventually, when I get to the stage where I have my sourdough starter and I'm going to make sourdough bread, which will be a momentous occasion in our house, I need a Dutch oven. Now, I read about a Dutch oven. I thought it was some sort of oven that was made. Anyway, it's a pot. I think I have one. I hope it's big enough. It's a big, heavy iron pot that you do the bread in, and you cover it and you put it in the oven. And I think I have one. Maybe it's not big enough, but we'll see how we go with that. Any information on Dutch ovens, please, to 51551 ray@rte.ie. There's a lovely thing in The Independent. They're asking people to say what they'll do with the other side. Is it okay that we say that, the other side? I think that's the way people are referring to it. Just what they're hoping for and what they're dreaming of and what they're wishing for and what they're looking forward to. And Liz Kirk from Raheny in Dublin, this will give you an example of the submissions they're getting to the Irish Independent. I'll be jumping on the first available flight to Manchester, says Liz, to give my 86-year-old mum, who suffers with Alzheimer's, the biggest hug ever. After that, I'll jump on another plane to Amsterdam to give my wonderful eldest daughter an equally big hug. Bring it on. That's Liz Kirk. Isn't that nice? And Samantha says, my promise is simple. I want to walk from my house in Monkstown down to Dunleary with my husband and two boys. I want to say hello to people we meet and thank them for staying indoors so we could now all be here and outdoors. Then I want to go to the coffee shop we always went to, order breakfast and just be. Just be. Talk to the staff, smile, be happy. It's a simple promise, but I'm hoping that everyone I know will still be here to share it with me. Samantha Kane, Dublin. They're lovely. And they're coming into the Irish Independent. They're nice. And there's loads of different letters in the Irish Times as well about walkers and joggers and old people being condescended. And I'm finding them very entertaining. The other thing I'm finding entertaining at the moment is Tiger King on Netflix. And according to the little caption that comes up before you play it, it's the number one Netflix show in Ireland at the moment. In their top 10. You've probably heard about this. If you don't have Netflix, sorry for talking about this. It might encourage you to get it or not, I don't know. Tiger King, it's the main character is a guy called Joe Exotic, and he has a sort of a zoo. Is it a zoo? Is it not a zoo? Anyway, he keeps a lot of exotic cats. I think he has 200 or so. Tigers, leopards, all sorts of things. And he is a gay man who carries around a gun in a holster. He's married to two guys. He has a badly dyed mullet. Joe Exotic. He is exotic to look at, and his lifestyle is exotic. And then you have other characters as well. Doc, this guy, who also has a zoo of sorts. He's very strange. And then what's her name? The woman's name. She's a Carol Baskin. She has a sanctuary for big cats, and it's about the three of them and how they get on together and their lives and the intrigue. And the brilliant thing about it is that the documentary maker started making it 5 years ago, and a lot has happened in the last 5 years. I'm only on episode 3, but very entertaining and highly recommended from here. Tiger King. I have to say thanks to Linolia. That's my thing going off there. Linolia hand cream. I got a handwritten letter and a tube of cream. And who is it from there? It's from the people in Linolia. They say, last Friday, we sat down to our last supper as a family. We're implementing extra measures to keep my parents from risk during this current crisis. During dinner, my dad mentioned your show and that you had talked about the effects of overwashing on your hands. I think you talked to someone in the hospitals. It was a doctor called Sinead. And she had the same problem. Many of our customers are worst affected by this chronic dry skin from overwashing because many of them are affected by by psoriasis, eczema, dermatitis and other skin conditions. Once we realised how much our customers might be affected, we made our intensive care hand cream in a tube as a special edition during the outbreak of corona. Tubes are much more hygienic than pots. They are, of course. Our hand cream is rich in lipids to replenish chronic dry skin, help repair the natural skin barrier so you will be protected from drying out while washing in future. Sounds like you could use a little. Karen, it is. We weren't able to spare much. We were hard hit by the tourist season dropping off, but added what we could for you and your team. So there you go. Linolea, and I have it here, and it smells lovely, and I'm just going to apply some now because with all the hand washing, I think the hand washing isn't as bad as the sanitizer. I think that's the thing that plays havoc on your skin. And there it is. Lovely smelling Linolea hand cream applied there. Thank you for that. Thank you very much. We were talking to Mary Gosling last week, and Mary is from Gosling Games down in near Cork. And we were talking about the fact that a lot of people are buying jigsaws and board games online. And I just see from The Guardian today that the top five board games, and they're going through the roof, the sales are. At number five, Technic Bugatti Chiron Construction Kit. That's a Lego thing. At number four, LOL Surprise OMG Lights by MGM. MGM Entertainment, don't know it. Double is there, I know that one. LOL Surprise, Hair Vibes, don't know that. And the number one, Monopoly. Also in the top 10, Scrabble is there, know that. Cluedo is there and Uno is there, know that. So they're all selling really well. Loads of texts coming in already. 51551 ray@rte.ie. And while I'm going to read those, Loud versus Kilkenny today. Loud versus Kilkenny today. Do you want to blast this? Of course you do. Yes. Da-da-da. We're more than halfway through our first round on the All-Ireland quiz. Today, as I say, Louth versus Kilkenny. So we're looking for two people who live in or were born in Louth and Kilkenny to step up to the plate, fly the county flag and answer five general knowledge questions. That's the deal. So 1850-719-500. There you go. Louth and Kilkenny. Now, let's see what we're saying. Happy 76th birthday to our dad, Damien Flood. Love Declan, Emer, Deirdre, Gerard, Fiona and all the grandkids. Look forward to celebrating when all this is over. And can you wish a very happy 8th birthday to our niece and cousin, Carla Campbell in Ashburn, County Meath from the Campions in Hollystown. Thank you. And they're all coming in there. A small tip I've used going in and out of my apartment for lift entry and floor buttons. I use the tip of my keys. Aha. Saves me using my fingers, says Kevin Baxter. So there's a tip there from Kevin. And please wish my parents, Pat and Teddy O'Reilly from Ard Cath in County Meath, a happy 53rd wedding anniversary today from the Ecrets in Ballybritis in County Leash. And please wish my brother Mick Finnegan and his wife Kathleen Cocooning in Kells, County Meath, a very happy 50th wedding anniversary. Lots of love from his sister Marion, husband Phelan and family in Rathoath. And I'm so glad to hear that Reed dreams. I dreamt the other night I was on Willie Mullins's gallop being chased by a horse and couldn't get away. Last night I was driving a hearse as opposed to being chased by a horse, says Mags and Carlo. There's a theme going on there. Hearses and horses. Of course, if you're in the Midlands, you say hearse, don't you? It was on a horse. Happy anniversary to my sister Margaret Clark and husband Neil. This time 50 years ago I was 19 and drinking vodka and still orange and ducking from my mum and dad. Love, Anne in Mallow. Obviously a reference to the wedding back there. And just on sourdough starter, I make sourdough bread at home every few days. I use a Dutch oven, but I also use a Le Creuset pot. Is it Le Creuset? Yeah, I know Le Creuset. Le Creuset is a different thing completely, is it? It's not a brand. They're telling me out there, and Eve is the chef in our team. Le Creuset pot with a lid, both work equally. Look at my bread on my Instagram, Linda Reed 1408. Good luck. It's a fantastic thing to do, says Linda. And there's more coming in there. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Now, before we go to our first piece of music, just to mention Anne-Marie Dunn, who comes in on a regular basis and sets me baking challenges and gives you advice on your baking. She lost her dad, Paud, last week, and we just want to acknowledge his passing. He was a good old age. And in Anne-Marie's own words, Paud Flynn spent his life working the land and was a very proud farmer, leaving behind a thriving legacy with his five sons now running the farm. His potatoes, Anne-Marie says, she'd be biased, are famous the length and breadth of the country. If circumstances had been different, Rush would have seen the biggest funeral ever. I'll truly miss him, but so happy to have had him for so long. He was an amazing father and mentor. And our thoughts are with Anne-Marie and her family and all the people who knew Paud Flynn and his potatoes. And Anne-Marie mentioned that this was one of his favourite songs, which he mentioned in the days before he died. So we play this and dedicate it to Paud, and our thoughts are with Anne-Marie. Good afternoon. Dan Morrison on RT Radio 1 and Days Like This. 5 on 5 up on RadRT.ie, and it's Louth versus Kilkenny today. Louth versus Kilkenny today on the All-Ireland quiz. We're looking for people who want to take part from those two counties. 1850 715 900. Be 5 general knowledge questions after 4 o'clock if you're planning your day and you have a busy schedule. Louth versus Kilkenny, 1850 715 900. Living in or born in either of those counties. Aina and Eddie in Mullingar, how are you doing, Aina and Eddie? We had a beautiful new granddaughter yesterday, a ray of sunshine in all the doom and gloom. Say hello to our son and daughter-in-law, Oisín and Aithne in Mullingar, and congratulations to all concerned, and welcome to the world, little ray of sunshine. An upside-down glass Pyrex casserole can double for a Dutch oven, and Scouts groups use Dutch ovens on camp. Oh, I didn't know that. Hello to Ockham Street Scouts. They can loan you one if you need one. And we listen in from our kitchen in Chicago as we try to homeschool and work from home. We love hearing all the news from home and wanted to say a special hello to everyone in Arranmore Island off the Donegal coast where I'm from, and also to everyone in Newcastle West in Limerick where my husband Pat is from. We hope we get to come on our holidays in June and that everyone is staying safe during this time. Lots of love to all who know us at home. That's Carol Ann, Pat, Ava and Anna in Chicago. And that's part of the anxiety, isn't it? It's not knowing that you're something to look forward to. Like, will we get to go on holidays? Even within Ireland, will we get a chance to go on holidays? And if we knew that, it'd be something to look forward to. But we don't even have that. And that's part of it. I was inspired by you, really, to start making bread. What I love about sourdough, you've made it already, is how long it lasts. It has lasted me the whole week and it's very filling and nutritious. So only a small bit does me just fine. And they say it's good for your gut bacteria, your microbiome. And that's the cutting edge of medical science at the moment. The more good bacteria you have in your gut, the better you are mentally and physically. That's what they're telling us. I've made plenty of sourdough bread. You can use a glass casserole dish with a lid when baking. Organic strong white flour and spring water are key. Aha, now you tell me. Spring water, all right. Good luck. I've been working on a buckwheat sourdough starter recently. It's fussy compared to strong white flour that's there in Dublin. And I found that the best thing for my skin after the sanitizer or whatever is good old aloe vera. Aloe vera. Love that, sorry. I never tried that one. Aloe vera. Sorry. You know when you're in Lanzarote, it's very hard to find an aloe vera shop, isn't it? Where would you get some aloe vera in Lanzarote? Anyway, aloe vera, sorry. Could you give out the name of the hand cream that Ray just spoke about? I can't, Nuala. It's Linolia. Linolia. And it sounds like it's a family-run business. Mother and daughter team dedicated to natural effective Irish skincare. Shirley and Karen. Where are they based there? I can't, it looks like somewhere out west, but it doesn't say. Anyway, Linolia, L-A-N-O-L-I-A. 51551, Ray Darcy at RTE.ie. No, just Ray at RTE.ie. Father Brian Darcy is on the way. We just have to take a quick 22-second break and we'll talk to Brian after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, good afternoon, Father Brian Darcy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ray, and nice to talk to you. And yeah. Sad times to be talking, but sure, it's nice to talk at any time.
Yeah, anxious times. You're coming in loudly and clearly. What's your setup there from home?
Well, I because I've been broadcasting for so long, for over 20 years with BBC, I didn't go over to Terry Wogan every weekend and whatever it was. Yes. So they, I put in, or they put in an ISDN line for me, which I, that's a technical thing, but it's what sports broadcasters use around the country to do their matches and so forth like that, to get a studio, near studio sound in from a phone line. And these days, it's coming into its own.
Everyone, it is coming into its own. It is. You're ahead of the posse, Brian. Yeah. There's young whippersnappers now posting pictures on Instagram of them broadcasting from home, and you've been doing it for years.
About 20 years, yeah.
20 years, yeah. So how are you? What's your situation? You're up in Fermanagh, are you?
No, in County Down.
You're in County Down.
Sorry. It wasn't Fermanagh for many years, of course, and then it was changed to County Down a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
A different situation altogether, but it's I'm still, until this happened, going up and down to Vermont a couple of times a week, but obviously can't do that now. That would be very foolish and wrong to do that. But so I've had to discover, being of an age that might be dangerous to be out, and if I were in the south, I'd be cocooned. We're not cocooned here yet, other than in the north I am. We have to be very sensible about it. And, you know, I keep saying to myself, whatever about me getting the disease, and sure, if I was taken in the morning, I'd have lived a good life. But I would hate at any stage to think that I might have brought the disease to anybody, and that would really be a terrible thing to do. And so it's keeping me doing the right thing for the right reasons.
Yeah, but keeping you from doing the things that you love to do, and your pastoral work, and meeting people, and providing solace for people.
Yes,
all of those things that you, as I say, you love to do, and you're brilliant at. So how is that affecting you?
It's affecting me terribly, to be honest. But then again, see, I had all sorts of plans, Ray, that I would do such and such a thing for Lent, that I would spend more time in prayer, that I would spend more time fasting, that I would give money, raise as much money as I could for poor, for homeless especially. And I was doing that and doing it very well. And then all of a sudden this came along and discovered that there's not only going to be no Easter, no Patrick's Day. I mean, can you imagine in Ireland on a Patrick's Day that you are banned from going to the pub and the church? I mean, that's a crazy sort of situation. Can you imagine an Easter? I was just 50 years ordained last year, but I could never imagine an Easter in which all churches would be closed. So what I have to realise and do is that, you know, I have to find God in other places. And just because a church is closed doesn't mean God is shut down. It's not at all. And of course, that's my duty now, to try and, through broadcasting, through writing, but mostly through phone calls, to try and bring God into the people who need him, in the best way I can. And I've discovered, you know, that phone calls and yokes that I never knew anything about, like WhatsApp and Zooms and stuff like that, I've learned an awful lot about those, and they're not the real thing. They're not good, but they're better than nothing.
Yes.
And that's what you have to do. So it is really about throwing out all the things that we held on to and maybe got in the way of us doing good things. All of a sudden, we're not allowed to mix, and not allowed to talk. We're not allowed to do any of these things, quite rightly. So totally back that. But at the same time, we've discovered that we need other people. Before this, we thought we didn't need other people. And we had got round of, you know, we had a small little clique of people around us whom we thought were grand, and that we also thought we could do it. We liked, or at least this is me talking, we could, you know, that, I mean, if I want to do that, I can do it, and nobody's going to stop me doing that sort of attitude thing. Now we discovered that isn't true. We're all interrelated. The planet and ourselves is interrelated. People and ourselves is interrelated. China and ourselves is interrelated. And that, you know, we have discovered that A, the uniqueness of the individual, but also the uniqueness of relationship in life.
Yeah, like that expression, we're all in this together. And it's,
yes,
that's globally. It's not just Ireland, it's globally.
Yes.
And by doing what people have been told to do by cocooning, etc., we are saving lives, which is brilliant. And
yes,
is this...
And mainly saving lives of nurses and doctors.
Yes.
And you don't want to be doing anything. You don't want to be going out and getting in a car crash and blocking up things, or falling and going into an A&E and doing things like that. You know, you have to think of others now. It's not about me.
And Brian, is this... Like, I've been talking a long time and thinking a long time about community,
yes,
right? And now we're in a stage where there's a global community. And before religion existed, there was a global community as such, in that, you know, they weren't divided by religions or borders or anything like that. And is that what the world is going to return to, or will it just be same as when all this is over?
It certainly won't be the same as, Ray. I think that's the most important thing of all. I think there have always, human beings have always needed rituals, even as you said before, religions.
There was pagan rituals,
There was pagan rituals, and there was Jewish rituals, and there was all sorts of rituals right down for thousands of years, and rituals of initiation and rituals for burial, and people, human beings had discovered those for themselves. So I think there were always rituals. But I think we have discovered, you know, people are just saying, you know, this will all pass and we'll go back to normal. I don't think that will happen, Ray. Now, this is subject for discussion. I know nothing more than anybody else knows. But I mean, I'm reading the signs of the times, and I don't think we can go back to normal. We might go back to something that's better than before, or worse than before. But I don't think we'll go back to the same as before. And that applies to religion, it applies to society, and it applies to the families, because we've all learned something from this, or we should be learning something from
it. What do you think we should be learning?
Well, I think we should be learning, first of all, that there is, you know, there's a unity. If we abuse nature, nature has its own way of fighting back. And we just can't keep go on using and abusing the things of the earth. There's not a limitless supply in them. We do also have a responsibility to use things only what we need. We don't have a right to own everything in the world, and we don't have a right to have everything just because we want it. I think we're learning that, you know, that the principles that we have been
living by,
foisting upon us, maybe too, to some extent, living by is a good phrase. I just think we have discovered that, we can do without them for a start. I mean, we can do without mass, we can do without churches, we can do without shops, apparently, for so long, anyway, at least. And what are we throwing back on? The things that we wanted anyway, like family and friends and time. I mean, God knows the time was the thing was something I used to say in my dreams. Oh, I'd love to have time to do that. I'd love to have time to read. I'd love to have time to pray. I'd love to have time for what? I'd love to have time to think. Well, you know, now is it? That is that time. So don't waste it. There's a thing in psychology, which a lot of people know, never waste a good crisis. A crisis is a crossroads, which allows us to make new choices. A crisis is the Greek word for cross, and it allows us to make choice. We arrive at a place of a crossroads, and we have come one road, and there are several options of a road ahead, and we have got to take one, and that's what causes us so much trouble. Which of the ones? We want to take them all, and we have to line up by saying, no, we have to find another way of doing these things.
And you said there we've time to think.
Yes.
How do you think people are coping with that? Because I was talking yesterday about distractions, and we fill our lives with distractions, and they've been taken from us, whether it's sport, shopping, you know, getting your hair done, getting your nails done, whatever it is, and you're going here, there and everywhere. Now you're not, and you have that time to think, and you're not distracted, and you're alone with your own thoughts. And how do you think people are coping with that?
Well, I don't know. I think people are coping with it differently. I know there's days I'm coping with it well, and there's days I don't cope with it well. So I think that's normal, and I think you have to understand that, because it's something new for us, and it's something that we didn't expect. And I suppose I live in a monastery, but we still have to be separated in a monastery. But we do meet for prayer, we do meet for talk, and they're of different ages. And everybody has a different way of trying to make sense of this. There's no one way of making sense of it. And I think that's the biggest thing of all that we need to do. I think we just need to be able to say, look, there is a common wisdom here that we haven't found yet. The main thing is to live in such a way that we get through this, that people are not dying because of my foolishness or somebody else's foolishness. That we recognise that the people we wouldn't pay 2 months ago, like nurses and cleaners and porters in hospital and frontline people in shops and people like that, we recognise now that the people in society that we tended to say were second-class citizens in society are not second-class citizens. There's a phrase in talking about a Magnificat of Our Lady, the mighty have been humbled, you know, and there is that, because all the might in the world can't find an answer to where this thing started and still can't find an answer how to get rid of it.
But the, here's God. The, and how does religion, how does Catholicism, how do you answer it if somebody asks you, why did God do this? You know, if somebody asks you that question. Has anybody asked you that question?
Oh, yes. I mean, I'm talking to quite a number of people who are suffering in intensive care units, yes, in hospital, on the phone, and talking to them when they're able to talk. And of course, even more so, their families are asking that question. Well, first of all, I've always said this anyway. The problem of suffering has been a terribly difficult problem for me to sort out at any stage. The one thing I want to say is, it's not God that's doing it. It's not a punishment from God. And anyone that thinks that, well, they don't know God. And they're doing God a great disservice by saying that this is anything a punishment. What happens is, we've made choices ourselves, and these are the result of our choices. And we'll solve it for the same reason. We can pray for inspiration. Most of all, I spend most of my time praying now. When I finish here, I'll go for a walk, and I'll pray as hard as I can for the people who are helping the sick in a way that I can't help them. Mm-hmm. But I can support them and help them by my prayers, that they will be consoled, that their families will be told, and most of all, that they'll be safe. But what I pray for most is that the scientists of the world will be able to find a way to overcome this, as they have for many other things like TB and all of the other diseases in the world, and many cancers at the present time. And that's how God works. Okay. He gives us intelligence and uses it for the good of others.
That phrase, you know, sent to test us. I've heard that so many times. I'm sure you have as well.
Yes. I'm not sure. Yeah, it probably, well, sent to test it. I'm not sure who sent it.
Yeah.
But it has come to test us. You know, it will test us, and rightly so. But, you know, Ray, we have little tests throughout our lives. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today. You know, the tests. I remember yesterday was an anniversary of a little nephew of a five-year-old of mine who was called after me, Brian. Who died as a child. Yeah. No. How do you make sense of that?
No.
And the same thing happens. How do you make sense? There's a whole lot of things that have happened in life to me and to others. And, you know, I've been at bedsides, and I've been at suicides, and I've been at all sorts of things. And I've had dealt with an incredible amount of tragedy in my life, for others mainly.
And you've gone through your own.
And some of my own, yes. Some of my own. And the point about it is that, you know, all of it, you end up saying the same thing. Why does bad things happen to good people? Mm. Which was a wonderful book by a fellow called Rabbi Kushner, who was a great rabbi, and his child died of the aging disease, and he lost his faith entirely because of that, because he couldn't see that he had done everything good and this happened to him. And I'm summarizing the book very briefly. But at the end of it, he lost his faith for years, but at the end of it, he then discovered that his son's path that he was at school with stayed with him and used to come in to talk to him, and they stayed with him long through university and afterwards. And all of a sudden one day he woke up and he said, God hasn't deserted me at all. God has sent me Harry and John and Rebecca and Abraham and so forth. Yeah. God has sent me all people, and I just didn't see them. I wasn't right. I was looking in the wrong places for
why,
where God
why
is.
Bad things happen to good people.
Yes.
You mentioned there about Mass, and you know, down here and up there there's no Mass anymore.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that people realise they can do without it. I don't know if that's... But, you know, I was talking to my mother the other day, and she misses it terribly.
Yes.
You know, just the Mass itself and the social interaction.
Yeah.
Do you think after this, more people will go to Mass, or it'll just be the same as it was before, or what?
Honestly, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. But I think it's up to us within church to listen a little more than we're doing. Not to be trying to say that this is the only way you can find God. I think people will discover ways of finding God themselves. The Holy Spirit's working through people as it is. Me, I love the Mass, and I miss it terribly, and I miss preaching at Mass and talking to Mass, and miss all that community of Mass all the time. But I do believe that I used to say in my in my cynical way, the only way people will ever come back to Mass is if we ban it, because if you ban anything for Irish people, they'll come back to it immediately. And I used to say, and now I hear it is banned.
Well, maybe you're onto something else, because when we were talking earlier on, you said you did your first Zoom Mass the other night.
Yes, I've done a few Zoom masses.
Yeah, and how many will be in the congregation?
Well, usually I've tended to do it with families whose people are sick or dying or can't get another mask, I've tended to do it very small, very small. And it's me saying the mass, but they're finding comfort from the prayers and from the unity. And you know, it's a lovely thing if a family can sit down and see each other and say, I'd say to them, well, why don't you offer a prayer? You know, and every single one of them, this is incredible. Every single one of them think, I want to pray for the doctors, and they never pray for themselves at all. They just pray for others all the time. And maybe they'd say a prayer of thanksgiving for the person and the family that's dying. And maybe they'll say that, you know. And sometimes you can say to them, well, you know, Pope Francis has said, you know, that those who are suffering from the current coronavirus, you know, all they have to do is to turn to God. And I will offer them through the power that I have, because God doesn't need the rest of us to work through them. God will give them, you know, peace of mind, that anything that was worrying them or troubling them or sinfulness that they might have thought or imperfection, that is all forgiven. If all you need to do is to turn to God. And you see, if I can say that to a person, I can send a wee message on a WhatsApp or whatever it is and say that to
them. That's solace.
And it is. It's incredible the hope that people find in small, human, lovely, dignified things.
Okay. Brian, mind yourself, and when you have the bad days, go for a walk, I suppose. You can still go for a walk up there,
can't
indeed.
You? Yes, we can. We can walk in the grounds anyway.
You can walk in the grounds anyway, Okay, and thanks for taking our ISDN call. We'll talk soon.
Please, God, and thanks for doing it, Ray. Appreciate it
very
much.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Keys to My Life featured Anne Doyle last Sunday night, and over 400,000 people tuned in. It's Brendan Courtney bringing people back to their first homes and their first cars and their first flats and all that sort of thing. And this Sunday, it's the turn of singer-songwriter and Eurovision hero, Johnny Logan. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Good afternoon from a Eurovision hero.
Well, you are a Eurovision hero. You are.
It's just the way you said it. I'm glad I got singer-songwriter in there first.
Yes, well, you are. Hold Me Now. What's another year? Yeah, Hold Me Now was your song.
Why Me?
Why Me? Exactly, exactly.
Well, that's going to be great, isn't it? All the songs, like, look, think of all the titles. What a whinging kind of person I am. What's another year? Hold Me Now. Why Me? You think that's like, I write something happy, you know?
What's another year? 40 years, like this May, next month.
God, yeah. I was only 7 when I sang it, though.
Of course. Yes,
it's really weird because, you know, in the year that it's in it, with all the things that are happening this year, like sort of, you know, the way the year started off, thinking like I was going to be able to celebrate 40 years of What's Another Year and how quickly it went and all this sort of thing. And then, you know, you heard about this pandemic and like sort of this coming over from China and this sort of thing. And then, to where we are now, it's just
happened very fast.
It kind of makes everything seem the 40th anniversary, all that seem insignificant. I just hope we can all get through this, like sort of, and you know, like sort of come out the other end, like sort of, as the, you know, we'll change as a people anyway, I'm sure. You know?
Of course. Where are you and what's your situation?
I'm home. Like I did that show with Brendan, who I had a ball with. I loved working with Brendan, and we did that just in, I think it was February, the end of February, and I went from there to Graz in Austria, and I did a gig, and then I came back, and I was about to head off to Spain to do a TV show for Norwegian TV, and then on to do another one in another part of Spain for a German TV before going on to Denmark to work with my band, and all of it was cancelled.
You're like, I know from talking to you, you're hugely busy and you're here, there and everywhere, hopping on planes and hopping off planes. I know, but that was my question then. So how are you coping with not being busy?
It was very difficult to start with, to be honest. You know, like I said, I found it very hard to even sleep. You know, this is, you know, the reality, you know, that I could sleep in the morning, that I could spend more than, you know, 5 or 6 hours in bed. That has been very difficult. Much more so. It's not something that I thought about. You know, you know, because my diary is completely full. And like sort of, you know, I was really looking forward to Vicar Street, but unfortunately now that's cancelled until they can reschedule dates, you know, like sort of whenever the dates for this. You know, I was looking forward to a load of different things, the TV shows in Spain, all of this, the Eurovision, you know, because I had a load of TVs in Holland and in Germany. And they've rescheduled. They're doing the same TV shows. I've been asked about a TV show in Holland now and another TV show in Germany, a couple of very big ones that they're going to do. But I think even in May, they're still talking about doing them from, you know, me in a recording studio.
So you'll be remote.
Like linking up
you'll
in the recording remote. Studio,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
It's very weird. Everything seems to have changed. And, you know, but to be honest, you know, like sort of, it is very, very difficult, right? Like sort of, and I'm sure for most people to be, you know, isolated or like sort of self, you know, like sort of distancing and all this sort of thing and locking yourself in your home. But the most important thing is the health of people. You know?
Yeah, to get out the other side. Yeah. Public health trumps everything else. It's a love. I watch the show. You haven't seen it yet. It's going out on Sunday night at 8:30 on RT1, Keys to My Life. And you go back to Howth. And
that's right, yeah.
The thing, I'd never seen this clip before. Will you tell me a little bit about it? Yourself and your dad singing on The Late Late Show, introduced by Gay Byrne.
Oh God, that's we were doing some shows I think it was the Braymore Rooms together. My father was over at the time, and we did this to promote the shows.
Tell people who wouldn't know about your dad before.
My dad was an Irish tenor, quite a famous Irish tenor called Patrick O'Hagan. Well, I always thought he was very famous, you know, I still do. He was a wonderful man and a beautiful singer, but he was most of all a wonderful man and a wonderful father to have. I didn't see enough of him in my life growing up because he was always away touring, but.
Yeah.
He was a very gentle human being, in the latter part of his life, he became incredibly religious. He was charismatic, and it was very difficult. You know, whenever I had a conversation with him towards the end, it was, you know, there were three of us involved, me, him, and the Holy Spirit, you know, and like sort of, I'm not that kind of religious, you know, okay. I believe in God and that, but I'm not that. And I think, was it after the show, the TV show, Shay Healy said to me, well, you know, because my father, during the TV show, felt the Holy Spirit come into him. And he couldn't talk, and he like sort of. So I ended up explaining to Gay and to the audience on The Late Late what was happening with my father. And Shay said to me, you know, that my father had the Holy Spirit come into him, and he's full of love for everything. And Shay said to me after gig, he says, "Well, that's a first for Gay. He had the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on the show."
And you,
that was very Shay.
And then the Father and the Son sang "Danny Boy," and it was it was beautiful. It was.
Well, that was our song. That was very after my dad died. It was very, very hard for me for many years. And then my little brother passed away. He had a heart attack in the November 2017. And in January of that year, the end of January, February of 18, I recorded an album with the Folkland Philharmonic Orchestra, which has not been released yet because I don't want to release yet at the moment until I find the correct way to release an album like that. I recorded Danny Boy on it. And I did probably one of the best vocal performances of Danny Boy of a song in my life that I've ever done. And I hadn't realized, you know, like sort of anybody who's listening to this interview, to us talking, will understand this. You know, my dad's gone since 93 and sort of, but it was like suddenly I was singing Danny Boy and it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was really, really, I didn't really want to talk to anybody for a couple of days after it, you know.
Mm. You say in the programme that your relationship with your dad was complicated. And it was was it because he was away so much? Was that it? Or?
I think it was because he was away so much. But it was also because, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm needy. There's a lot of things that I needed to, you know, like I wanted to know him better. I wanted to know him. I wanted to, you know, I'm very like him in so many ways. And I'm kind of always been a kind of, a big softie, I suppose, like a hugger and, you know, and then, you know, like sort of quite an emotional person. And it was kind of very important for me to get to know him. And he never, you know, like he came from a different generation. They didn't tell you they loved you. They just showed it.
Mm.
And I've gone the other way. I kind of embarrassed my sons and, you know, like sort of by telling them how much I love them all the time and, you know, sort of.
That's great.
Kind of their trial was off, for God's sake, he's at it again. You know, like when my eldest son, Adam, got married, I had to get up and make a bit of a speech, and I got up, and of course, the tears started flowing, and sort of like all his mates started dipping their fingers in the wine glasses, and, you know, putting it on their faces, like sort of copying me. Everyone that went to make a speech afterwards was taking the mickey out of me.
Yeah.
So it's, but that's me, you know, and that's like sort of it's, but it's also other members
good.
Of my family.
That's good. I didn't know either that your dad ran a pub up in Drogheda. What was it called?
We had a pub opposite St. Peter's Church, you know, where the head is, you know.
Oliver Plunkett's head.
Oliver Plunkett cut the head off.
Yeah.
you know, and they had that head there for years. And we had a drummer in the house band. My father had a pub on West Street. It's now a shopping centre right opposite it. And the drummer used to call everybody head. You know, it was, where's Dan? You know, it saved him having to remember everybody's names.
Yeah. Hey, head.
Head. How's it going, head? Do you head? That always struck me as strange with the head across the road. Yeah. But,
And it was a music pub, was it?
It was. It was a singing bar and lounge, Patrick O'Hagan's singing bar.
And your dad would sing, would he, as well as run the place?
Yeah. And that's where I learned how to play guitar from Eamon Campbell. From the
Dubliners.
He taught me to play when he was there. It was my father that talked to him and asked him, God rest his soul, Eamon. Eamon,
lovely
you
man.
Know, he used to come in. He was a lovely, lovely man. Yeah. He used to come in and play guitar, especially on Sunday. They had kind of rock and roll sessions and that. Because he was a great rock player as well. People know him from playing, you know, and producing with the Dubliners. But he was a great rock and roll player in his days, jazz guitar player as well.
I'd say people are still reeling hearing that it's 40 years since What's Another Year?
Not just them, me too, man. Yeah. It just sometimes it seems like a lifetime away.
Yeah.
And then we did a show in the Gaiety last year for Shay, you know, for Parkinson's, to raise awareness in this for Parkinson's. And Shay hosted it, Shay Healy. And I had been away from home for a long time, and I hadn't sung in front of an audience in the Gaiety for God knows how many years. And I sang What's Another Year with Jimmy Smith's band, Tony Malloy and the rest of the guys, The Doc and that. And it was one of the most emotional moments I've ever had on a stage outside of Vicar Street in Dublin. It was just a wonderful, singing What's Another Year at the end of it. You know, I extended the outro and did some kind of ad-libs over the end. And then when the song finally stopped, there was a moment, just a second of silence, which seemed like forever. And then the place exploded. It went to a point where it actually physically pushed me back on the stage.
Right.
And it was a wonderful feeling, because sometimes you get that feeling that people, you know, forget you, or they're people in Ireland, like sort of just, you know, like sort of they just don't see how many years and how hard I've had to work to get to where I've got to, you know. And it's then suddenly
people are proud of you, Johnny.
Yeah,
and I think people do appreciate
like that
you.
Reminds you of
yes,
it, you know,
yeah,
and that's a
yeah.
lovely moment.
Yeah.
Something that's always lovely for me.
Like, I'll never tire of watching you sing What's Another Year and Hold Me Now and winning the Eurovision and all of that and the flowers and
thank
the
you.
Trophy and you returning home to Dublin Airport and all of those clips feature in Keys
To My Life. I've got to say, and as well, I loved doing it with Brendan. Brendan was one of the nicest people that I've met in many a year. And what was great fun was Marion, the producer, she was also lovely, but we had the cameraman's name was John, and the sound guy was John Lawrence. So he was called J-Lo, which was my name.
Right.
And then the other one was John. So I had to be called, for the first time in years when we were working, I had to be called Sean.
Sean
off camera,
Sherrard.
Sean. I became Sean again.
Right.
It was lovely. And then we finished up in Denmark in the studio in Denmark.
It's lovely.
And I write with and produce with.
8:30 on Saturday, or on Sunday night.
On Sunday night.
Keys to My Life. Will you join in with yourself on this just before we leave you?
For the last time, hold me.
Did you want to give the points?
Yeah.
Don't say a word, just hold me now. There you go.
Hey! Johnny Logan, Eurovision hero. Thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us today. And mind yourself, won't you?
Okay, and I just say hello to Marion and Taylish and all the people listening, all my family, Johnny,
okay.
All those guys, all my sons, hopefully, and my daughter-in-law.
See you, Johnny. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank
bye
you very
now.
Much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye. That's Johnny Logan there. Or not here. We do.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Please wish my beautiful granddaughter Maeve in Lucan a happy first birthday from Granddad Derek in Avoca. Now, Maeve doesn't know anything about it, Derek, but just to satisfy you, there it is. And could you give out the name of the hand cream? Linolea there, everyone wants to know it. Linolea.ie if you want to order some. Third attempt today. Tried Oliver, tried Ronan. But you won't fail, Ray. Bread Law Hunna to our daddy, Col, in Red Hills Cavan from his little girls, Ava and Mary Dunn. And allo, Ray, from Vera in Stamullen. Couldn't resist it, says Vera. And lots of aloe vera in Food for Life Health Store in Callan, County Kilkenny. And Johnny wants to say hi to Thomas' sisters from Swords, Mary, Dimpna and Jin, is it? It would make their respective isolations. They are mad about him and have been to see him in Vicar Street several times. There you go. Done. And he's gone, so I do have to do it for you. Joan Clear in Bennett's Bridge in Kilkenny. Please say hello to Johnny for me. Met him in Munich last St. Patrick's Day. Great times. Keep safe, everybody. Keep safe, everybody. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. That can only mean one thing. It's time for the All-Ireland Quiz. It's a general knowledge quiz. 5 questions each. Final question is a goal question or a point question. We'll explain that when we get to it. And it's a chance for people all over the country to step up to the plate and fly their county flag in the All-Ireland Quiz. I love that music. I love that music. Good afternoon, Teddy Malone in County Louth.
Good afternoon, Ray.
How are you?
I'm good today, thank you.
Good. Whereabouts in County Louth are you?
I'm actually, believe it or not, in County Kilkenny.
Right.
But I'm born and reared Dunlear, County Louth.
Well, you can't deny it with that accent, Teddy.
And as Maeve said, I have to represent Louth with an accent like that.
You do, yes, you do.
When I did have the option.
Yeah, you did have the option of representing Kilkenny, which, yeah. What's your story with the virus, Teddy?
Well, the virus, Ray, has me self-quarantined here in the caravan outside my house. I have my lovely ladies inside looking after me. I had an ongoing issue there with my lungs, which isn't really a day-to-day issue until something nasty like this virus pops up. It's time to run for shelter.
So you're out in the caravan and the rest of the family are in the house?
Indeed, Ray, yes.
So how does that work? What about meals and laundry and all that?
Well, basically how it works is... everybody is playing a wonderful part of keeping the virus at bay outside of our house. I get up in the morning when nobody else has got up and down to the kitchen and and out to my caravan, which is my office and my home for the day. And at night time, I sneak back in up to my ensuite bedroom.
Ah, yeah.
My darling wife, Margaret, has taken to the spare room from now, so there's no interaction or anything like that. And we're all keeping our social distance. Right. And surfaces are being constantly cleaned and all that. So
right.
Tricky, but... workable.
And what's the lung condition?
Well, 7 years ago, I was struck down with a not so common condition called sarcoidosis, Ray.
Oh, I've heard of it. Yes, it affects Irish men more than any other people in the world.
It does indeed. So you have a grasp of it.
Yeah.
It done some damage to my lungs before I got treated, and it's left me on inhalers. As I said, from a day-to-day point of view, the inhalers work great. Their strength hasn't been increased or anything. It's just that I know what this virus can do, and what it can do to people who are elderly or have ongoing conditions like myself.
Right. And there was a family celebration that had to be cancelled.
Yes, our youngest baby, always be a baby, even though Ciara, she's a student down in University of Limerick, she's obviously home at the minute, and in 2 weeks' time, she was looking forward to huge celebrations for her 21st. And pretty minor. There's a lot of people out there, there's weddings getting cancelled and whatnot, so yeah. We'll just put this in the back burner for now.
Okay, she can Zoom her friends on the night and do something
and
like that.
And she has all that arranged and everything else, so So it'll probably be looking like a glass of wine for the girls and a game of Monopoly, perhaps.
Right, and you out in your caravan, self-isolating. Teddy, have you ever represented Louth at anything before in your life?
No would be the honest answer. No,
okay, right. You're up against Margaret O'Brien from Kilkenny City. How are you doing, Margaret?
Hiya.
Say hello to Teddy there.
Hi, Margaret, how are you?
I was not too bad yourself.
I'm grand. We're breaking the rules. You're only 5 miles away from me.
Yeah. What's your story, Margaret?
Home isolating for now, so.
Yeah, and who's with you?
Busy. Our daughter, who's 3, and my partner.
Right. And are you working from home, or is anybody working from home?
No, I was a carer, so I'm out for it now, so just keeping going.
Right, okay. Minding yourself. Have you ever represented Kilkenny at anything before?
I haven't.
You haven't? Are you sure? No.
I'm sure.
Okay. Teddy, there's a radio on in the background there somewhere. Teddy, would you do me a favour and stand up for your county anthem? Here we go.
Here we go.
I shook that steely hand of his, and I bowed respectfully. And I hope to meet in future years the Turfman from R.D.
That's the Turfman from R.D., performed by Dermot O'Brien.
Indeed. Yeah.
Margaret, will you be upstanding for your county anthem? Here we go.
Here, sweet banks, I'll wander, where sun and moon shine, with you, lovely Molly, fair rose of moonkind.
Yippee! The rose of moonkind. That's Johnny McAvoy there. I must tell you, that's all of those are from a double CD I bought years ago when I had up on the shelf and I brought it in and you were saying you should have left it at home. Anyway, good luck to Teddy representing Louth. Good luck to Margaret representing Kilkenny and let's get a bit of tension going. Okay, five questions each. When we get to the final question, you can choose a three-pointer or a one-pointer. Teddy, your question is a question on Kilkenny. Which iconic animation innovator great-grandfather emigrated to the US from County Kilkenny in the 1800s?
So, Walt Disney, Ray.
Yeah, there you go. I was going to read it for you again, but Walt Disney, yeah. His great-grandfather, Arundel Elias Disney, emigrated from Goran in County Kilkenny in 1834. Right. Margaret, your question, a question of County Louth. Which actor who played James Bond was born in Drogheda in County Louth in 1953?
Oh, Jesus.
Think about it. James Bond.
I know when I have the name. I have his face, but I can't think of his name.
Right.
Is
it going to come to you now?
Oh. No.
No. Pierce Brosnan. Brosnan. No, okay, no, early days. I wouldn't fret. Back to you, Teddy. What game involves using a mallet to hit wooden balls through a hoop planted in the ground?
Polo.
No. Croquet.
Croquet, I have to take it.
Yeah, there you go. Margaret, a chance for you to go level with Teddy there. The modern game of golf originated in which country? England, Scotland or Wales?
Scotland.
Is the correct answer. Mentioned in documents as far back as the 15th century. Scotland is the correct answer. It's one all. Question number three for you, Teddy. How many hearts does an octopus have? We know he has eight tentacles. Many hearts. One, two or three?
Three.
Is the correct answer. One pumps blood around the body, the other two pump blood to the gills. So there, well done. How did you know that, or was it a guess?
No, I think I read it somewhere in the book once, right?
Okay. Margaret, similar question for you. Which of the following is not a real animal? A cookie cutter shark, a poison dart frog, or a smiling platypus?
Smiling platypus?
Is the right answer, yes. There's no such thing as a smiling platypus. We just made it up. So it's 2-2 as we go into question number 4. It's the audio question for Teddy and Margaret. Teddy, can you tell me the name of this U2 song? It sort of beat the intro. Here we go.
With or without you?
No. Where the streets have no name.
Where the streets have no name.
Okay, right. Margaret, a chance for you to go in front if you can tell me the name of this U2 song.
Only to be with you?
I need the answer. I need the name of it. That's. I need the name of the song. You're singing it in your head there.
Oh.
Go on.
What I'm looking for?
Come on.
No, still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's it. It was there. That's okay, Teddy, isn't it? It was coming and she got it and there you go. Okay. Okay, so here's the deal now. Here's the deal now. Teddy, you're on 2. Margaret's on 3. Teddy, you can go for a 3-pointer. If you get it right, then that forces Margaret to go for the 3-pointer. And if she gets it wrong, you win. Or you can go for the 1-pointer and hope that Margaret gets her 1-pointer wrong and it'll be a draw and we go to a tie-break situation. So what are you going to do?
Do you know what? It's all for a bit of fun. And
yes, it is.
What you call it, and nobody's feeling challenged.
No.
I'll go for the 3-pointer.
You go for the 3-pointer, right, for 3 points to bring you up to 5. Good luck with this, Teddy Malone, representing County Louth. How many counties border County Offaly? 5, 6, 7 or 8?
Oh, Offaly is a Midlands county. it's always going to be high. Give me the numbers again, please, Ray.
5, 6, 7, or 8. The number of counties that border County Offaly.
5, 6, 7, or 8. I'm going to go 6.
It's 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always going to be a guess. Galway, Roscommon, Tipperary, Laois, Westmeath, Kildare, and Meath. And you see, being drawn first, and that's the way the draw went, leaves you in a sort of an awkward situation. But there you go. We're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show mug, Teddy. So you can put it in a position of prominence out in the caravan.
Totally. Yeah.
And you've been great fun. And mind yourself and mind the rest of the family as well, and stay safe.
Thanks very much, Ray. Take care. And well done to the lady there.
Margaret.
Margaret is right. Yeah.
Okay.
Congratulations.
See you, Teddy.
Thanks.
Well done.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Well done. And well done to you, Margaret. Margaret,
Thank you.
You and Kilkenny are into the second round. So we'll be talking to you the week after next. Yes.
Great.
Congratulations.
Okay,
enjoy yourself.
Thanks.
Bye. And if you want to express your interest in the All-Ireland Quiz, it's allirelandquiz@rte.ie. allirelandquiz@rte.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
And tomorrow in the All-Ireland Quiz, Laois take on Wicklow. So if you live in or were born in one of those counties and you want to be involved, the All-Ireland Quiz at RTE.ie. That's the All-Ireland Quiz on RTE.ie. Now, I was speaking to my mum the other morning and she said, I've just finished my Joe Wicks workout. And it took me by surprise. Didn't know she knew that Joe Wicks existed. But now he's reaching out to everybody. Everybody knows Joe Wicks now because we're all confined to our houses. Well, most of us are. And we need to do a bit of exercise. So children and seniors and everybody in between are following the Joe Wicks workouts. And Joe Wicks is on the line. How are you doing, Joe?
Hello, Ray. Thank you, mate. I'm great. I'm having an amazing time doing these workouts. But I had no idea I was going to have so many people take part. It's been mind blowing.
Yeah, I can't believe you connected with my mother. Like, my mother's 82, Joe.
Is she even having a go as well then?
She's having a go because you're doing a senior workout, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I filmed a couple of senior workouts for the elderly and seniors. It was 2 10-minute videos and they've had, I think, 500,000 views in a week. So I'm actually about to, when I get off the phone to you, I'm going to jump up, get a couple of workouts planned for them again and stick them up because I think they need more content to stimulate them. So yeah, I don't want to leave anyone out. I want to give everyone a chance to get up and get active and feel positive during this time.
Well, can I say thanks on my mother's behalf? First, and thanks on my kids' behalf as well, because my children were doing your workout. And this is the one that's sort of struck a chord, isn't it? Because the schools are out and parents are looking for things to occupy their children and keep them healthy. And that's where you step in.
Yeah, I was supposed to be going on a tour a couple of weeks ago. So when all this kicked off and the schools got shut, I was supposed to be going around the UK again and visiting schools, which I love. So this is something I've been doing for sort of 3 or 4 years. And I had the idea, I was in bed and I thought, I can't visit schools. Every school's closed. Kids are at home. Why not do a live workout? So I stream it on my YouTube channel every day, Monday to Friday at 9 a.m. And it's been amazing. I've had almost 1 million live streams a day, people doing it. So it's been fantastic to see all the schools and teachers and families sharing it and promoting it and, you know, getting their families involved in it.
And it must make you feel good to know that what you're doing is making other people feel good.
Yeah, this is my true, you know, I've had success with my books and I've had all that and it's been amazing. But for me, my true purpose and my true passion is really inspiring people to exercise and move and feel good. And even more so with young people. So this is something, like I said, I've been banging away at this for 3-4 years, trying to get Channel 4 to film a documentary, trying to get the radio and TV to talk about it. And no one really noticed and no one cared. And now it's taken, obviously, a pandemic for it to be a light to be shone on it. But it's just been, I've been doing global PR. I've been on the phone to Australian breakfast TV, CNN, like American TV shows. It's been phenomenal.
Mm. And are you minding yourself, Joe? Because you sound like you're very busy.
Yeah, I have had a little bit of a whirlwind the last sort of 10 days. I said to my brother, now I need to sort of turn some of this down. Because I've just been trying to do everything. Like, yeah, I'll do it. Just, yeah, let's do it. Let's chat. Let's get an invitation and do a bit of PR. But because I wanted to reach more people. But now I said, look, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I've got to do just rest, be with the family. I'm still doing the workout. So it's every day, Monday to Friday. But it did catch up with me because I was exhausted from just broken sleep. Because my little boy ain't sleeping too well.
What age is he?
He's 4 months old, so he's up every few hours. So that when you throw that into the mix and just generally being emotional and kind of sensitive to this whole thing, it definitely heightens your emotions and you do feel like you're burning out a bit. But I do feel much better. And I had a good night's sleep and I feel better for it.
Good. Talk to me a little bit about children. And like we had a guy, the research has been done in Ireland, and very shocking research that a lot of children can't do basic physical activities like throwing a ball or kicking a ball. So we're facing into future generations who won't be able to exercise. So it's hugely important what you're doing. What's the best approach for people to take to get children to exercise, do you think?
I'm really passionate about getting young people exercising, and that's why I've gone into primary schools and I've visited, you know, I've been all around the UK. I went to Ireland, Northern Ireland, I visited some amazing schools to try and inspire young people to kind of get it in their mindset from a young age that we do this because it makes us feel good. It gives us energy. It lifts our mood. And and so we're battling with a world where we're born into technology now. Like, I didn't have all this stuff when I was a kid. I was very active. I had sport. But now a kid coming up through school, you're given an iPad. You're given all these things. So it's even harder to get them off that into an exercising mindset. So I'm trying to use YouTube, use Instagram, Facebook, and all the platforms they're on and say, look, jump up, get up and do a little bit of exercise so that they ingrain that in their mind from a young age. I think it is important. And the most powerful thing you can do as a parent is role model by doing it with your kids. And that's what's happening this week. You know, mums and dads that have never, ever exercised in front of their kids or maybe even watched their kids do fitness stuff are doing it, and it's bringing them together, and it's powerful. It really is.
And do you know what you said there, which I understand and a lot of adults probably understand, that doing exercise makes you feel good, and when you least want to do it, it's probably the time you should do it. That's a difficult message to give to kids, isn't it? Like, because I say to my, you know, 7 and 13-year-old, you'll feel better after it. Well, I'll be tired after it, Dad. You know, they don't understand that. So how do you get your message across?
Well, it doesn't matter if you're 6 years old or 60 years old. Like, exercise does the same thing. It releases serotonin and dopamine in your brain, which makes you feel good. It clears your mind. It elevates your mood. So it's just, there's scientific, you know, research to show that it helps with depression and anxiety and stuff. But yeah, the biggest challenge is trying to tell someone who's not into it, just give it a go, because a lot of people are looking for motivation, but they don't have it. And I always say to people that feel that way, your motivation is waiting for you at the end of the workout. It's how you feel when you've done it. It's how you feel about yourself, your energy, your you know, your optimism. And I personally think when I exercise, I'm a much better dad. I'm more patient. I'm a harder worker. I'm more productive. I'm kinder to be around. I'm just a nicer human when I exercise. And that's what I'm trying to promote.
Yeah. And you're doing it from your sitting room. Is it?
Yeah, I'm doing it in my living room. It's amazing. Like, I've been a international broadcasting channel right here with my phone and my internet, and I've been talking to all these TV channels. It's amazing. Like, I just think the world's going to change off this.
Yes, yeah.
I've been doing Sunday brunch, Good Morning Britain, and literally from my living room. So it makes you think, what's it going to be like in the future when
we're going to work differently?
We're
going to work differently, aren't we? Yeah, yeah. And of course, it's you know, we all look forward to leaving our house and going about our business as we used to when all this is over. But you, somebody like you could operate from your house.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I've always had my home as my workspace. So my kitchen, obviously, where I do Lean in 15 recipes, and I've got my living room, which I've just thrown out all the sofa, and it's blocking my front door. And this is now where I film the workout. So I'm always home a lot with my wife and kids. So for me, it doesn't feel that different. But obviously, being on lockdown, we can't get out as much and go for a nice coffee or, you know, a meal together. It's difficult. But I just believe that if the quicker you make your home your workout space, the healthier and happier you'll be, because it's too much pressure for people to join a gym, get a trainer, buy loads of equipment. You know, you can get fit with just your body and your body weight. Yeah. You know, it really is possible.
Can you give me advice? I'm thinking I'm going to sign up to this a charity that I'm very close to in Ireland, Children's Hospice. They have this challenge for April. So it's 3,000 press-ups in April. So
over the month.
Yes, so it's 100 a day. I'm 55 year old man.
It's definitely doable. You'd be sore. Like if you do it in sets of 10, you'd be fine. But if you started trying to do a massive set like 50, 60, you'd be well sore. So yeah, I mean, look, what a great challenge. Break it up into sets of 10. Do it throughout the day. It's very doable.
Right. Okay. So it's doable. I think I'll do it.
You'll have a chest like Arnold Schwarzenegger behind that. Jesus.
I look forward to that. I'll send you a picture.
You'll be pumped.
Yeah, I'll be pumped. Would it do? It's straight. Will it, seriously though, by the end of it, if I did 100 a day, I'd be pumped at the end of it, would I?
I think, I mean, look, if you're eating well and you're eating good food and you're not like overeating and boozing every day, yeah, I mean, yeah. It's gonna, I think it could change it could give you more definition in your chest and arms, right, for sure. I think if you were doing like sets of, say you did four sets of 25, yes, you're going to see some change. I think if you did like 10 sets of 10, probably not as visual, but you're still going to feel stronger.
Okay, yeah. And it's about how you feel mentally, obviously. And it's for a really good cause. And that it, for a lot of people who are listening, I would imagine, well, some people who are listening, they can't go to the gym, obviously. So they're whether they like it or not, their home has become their gym. So apart from watching some of your workouts, what are there any simple tips for them? What sort of things can they use? Pieces of furniture can they use to...
Well, I mean, my YouTube channel is called The Body Coach TV. Yes. I've taken 9 years to get 800,000 subscribers, like really putting a lot of content and loads of free workouts. And in the past week alone, I've had 1.2 million more followers. So there's now 2 million subscribers because people need home workouts. They need equipment-free stuff. So that is a great platform for it. But like I keep saying on every interview, you may not like my style of training. You might not like the sound of my voice or whatever, but you will find someone on there. You'll find someone that does yoga or Pilates or boxing, and you can do that through YouTube in your living room. So find what you love and just find someone that can motivate you. That's all it takes is, you know, choose a workout, press play, and the person through the other end of that screen will motivate you through a workout.
And your next book is on weaning.
Yeah, my next book, funny enough, is called Wean in 15, which is my new, basically, baby and toddler book. So I've got two kids now and I love feeding them healthy food. So I wanted to create a book that would inspire parents and give them the confidence to, like, you know, cook for kids and enjoy that journey, because it's quite an anxious time. You're not sure what to do and if you're doing the right thing, and the book's going to kind of answer all those questions for you. It's out in May.
Yeah. So what's next for you today now, for example?
So I'm going to now film two more workouts for some senior and elderly. So I'm going to film two 10-minute workouts again.
I tell my mom. Great. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be coming up soon. And then I've got another interview tonight with BBC Radio Scotland. So that's about 9 p.m. and then I can clock off for the night. But I've been doing radio from 7 a.m. to like midnight every day for 10 days. So it's been intense, but I've loved it and I'm enjoying it. And I'm grateful to everyone that wants to talk about it and share it, because it means that, you know, families and kids all over the world, and I'm talking like Russia, South America, India, Asia, like so many places are doing this. It's not just a UK thing now.
Yeah, you're doing great work. You're doing great work. And thanks for taking time out to talk to us. Joe Wicks, the body coach. You'll find all the workouts for families and for seniors. And it's every morning at 9 o'clock. You can do it live with Joe and millions of people all over the world. Thanks, Joe. Mind yourself.
Thank you so much, Ray. Have a great day. Yeah, take care, too. Mate. Bye-bye.
Bye. Joe Wicks there. Yeah, my mom and Joe Wicks, huh? There, that's unusual. Now, let's see what we have here. 5 on 551 just before we go. Here we go. Please wish my husband Ken a happy 42nd wedding anniversary today. We're missing our three children who are unable to stay with us, says Mary Halpenny. And sitting here listening to the show, my dad Brian, it's my birthday today and my name is Gronje. Make my dad, not worth mentioning my age, getting older all the same. Enjoy your show. There you go. Happy birthday to you, Gronje. And I'd like to mention my good friend Catherine Werner, who is celebrating her birthday today in Skibbereen from Geraldine. Happy birthday, Catherine. And here's a suggestion in lieu of Eurovision. Could European TV companies show the 25 previous winning songs and get all Europe to vote for the best ever song? I read something today and I just... something happened, the phone rang or something, but they're doing something. They definitely are doing something. It was in one of the papers today. It's not going to be the Eurovision, but it's going to be something in its place. Today is World Autism Awareness Day. Could you say hello to all, especially the carers who do a great job? Mammies, daddies, brothers and sisters, thanks. Yeah, happy to do that. And a brilliant priest taught my class years ago, it's not God's will when a tragedy happened. God just made us, gave us our own free will and left us to it. The virus grew and God had nothing to do with it. And when this is over, most people will go back to their old ways, running and racing, flitting and flying, off chasing rainbows. I'm lucky. I know my own rainbow is here in my own humble abode, says Martina. And as a mum of a sick child, I've spent a lot of time even before now at home, and Joe helps us keep fit. Joe Wicks. Kids all taking part now too. Love Joe's attitude and his energy. He has some energy, hasn't he? Like himself and Dave Fanny could go up against each other for talking fast. That's a good one. I'd pay money to watch that. Joe Wicks versus Dave Fanning in a talk-off. That's if must. I have to say goodbye and make way for Mary Wilson. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Stay safe.